The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield, your number one news and talk station.
The Money Show brought to you by Old Mutual. Get great financial advice. Old Mutual is a licensed financial services provider. It's not nearly on the same scale as a company like Anglo Gold Ashanti, which announced 2 weeks ago that it was cutting 8,500 jobs because it had got mines that have come to the end of their life. But large corporates aren't in the business of hiring right now, certainly not on a large scale. Lots of companies have frozen positions and in some cases are cutting jobs. And it's devastating for all involved, of course, and ultimately bad for the economy. But we'll talk all about that in some detail this evening with Nikki Newton-King. She's taken a big call on cutting 14% of JSE Limited's workforce. Professor Nicola Klein, she is the Dean at the Gordon Institute of Business Science. She's an expert in the world of marketing. Just how much damage has been done and what can we do about it by Bell Pottinger's various forays into spinning South Africa out of control? We'll do the best bits of the Money Show. We'll play the Brutal Biz Quiz. And, of course, we'll reflect on what's happened this week on markets. All of that coming on this evening's edition of The Money Show.
702 and Cape Talk, The Money Show.
Well, corporate South Africa often criticized for not creating jobs. Few companies are. Many put hiring freezes in place. Some companies are cutting. I mentioned Anglo Gold Ashanti a moment ago. And today, JSE Limited announcing it's cutting 14% of its workforce. It's scaling back on some technology investment too. Nikki Newton-King is the chief executive of the JSE. And I just compare the volumes of trade going through the JSE. Today was 14 billion rand, and that seems to be the norm. 12 months ago, Nikki Newton-King, if you didn't get 20 billion rands with a volume in a day, it was a quiet day. Have things slowed down that much?
Things have slowed down dramatically, Bruce, and I think this is really a reflection of the macroeconomic stresses in our country. And, you know, we are very much a taker of those, and that has been definitely one of the things influencing the very difficult decisions we had to announce today.
If we were growing at 3 or 4%, would you be growing the JSE?
If we were growing at 3 and 4%, I think we would see far more listings, we would see far more activity, we would see far more international investor appetite for really some very, very good opportunities in this country. But the reality is that for the moment, people are very muted.
I mean, were you cutting jobs? I mean, 14% of the workforce, it's 70 jobs that are going in the next couple of months. Are you replacing people with machines or are you cutting back on business lines? What is the position within the JSE as you reshape and restructure it?
We're doing two things. The first is the macroeconomic environment has definitely muted activity, so we do need to look at the cost base. The second is that the manner in which we use technology, we are definitely rejigging. We are very high-tech users, and we use a lot of our technology from international providers. But the manner in which we implement it is really not, in our view, as agile and efficient as modern providers and users of technology need to be. And so we're rejigging the way we implement our technology, and that is going to in itself result in quite a lot of savings. Not more opportunities to use machines necessarily, but more opportunity to use technology differently.
And so you're looking to save within the next year or two, I mean, in the tens of millions of rand?
We are looking to save 170 million rand over the next 2 years. Of course, when you do want to really optimize your technology, it takes a number of years to do that. We're going to have to sort of consolidate our applications, consolidate our infrastructure, be more aggressive with how we negotiate our big supply contracts. So there is a lot ahead of us. We're very clear about where our opportunities are, and we're already well on the way in doing that. Unfortunately, optimizing our workforce is also part of that exercise.
When we look at the sort of cost cuts that you've implemented already, and again, corporate South Africa is a lot less of a fun place than it used to be. I think the longer lunches have been cut back and golf days are gone, and many of those factors have been severely cut back. I mean, you've already squeezed that particular lemon. I think I heard a pip squeak the other day as I walked past the JSE. I mean, you have taken out whatever costs you can up until this point.
You know, really, shedding staff is your very, very last option and really one of the most difficult things to do as a leader. So we have really aggressively looked at our discretionary spend. We've aggressively frozen hires up until now, and now we've had to take the final step. So, yes, we've been as tough as we possibly can because in these economic climates, times, one really doesn't want to be putting people out of work.
When you look at 170 million in costs over 2 years, what does that do to the profitability of the JSE 3 years out?
That puts us in a much different position. That will essentially free up about 10% of our operating expenditure. So it's a massive dent in what we takes to operate what we do.
I mean, is there a chance that the jobs that you're cutting ever return, or do they ultimately fall by the wayside? Ultimately, the fourth industrial revolution does its thing, that the smarter technology, the smarter application of technology ultimately replaces these jobs forever.
We will have different jobs in future. As we grow into different areas, there'll be different opportunities. And I think some of that is fourth industrial revolution thing, but some of that is new areas of business we'll be in and new ways of doing that business. But I definitely see a much bigger role for machine learning, artificial intelligence in exchanges of the future, and we are going to be part of that exercise.
Nikki Newton-King, Chief Executive of the JSE, thanks for joining us this Friday evening. Nikki Newton-King taking the big call today, 70 jobs, 14% of the JSE Limited's workforce. It's a small company, relatively speaking, JSE Limited. It employs about 500 people, yeah, and a big chunk of those people are losing their jobs. Well, like many of you, I've been seething. I really have been seething for the last 24 hours. When the statement first came out of Bell Pottinger just this time yesterday, I read it with some degree of disbelief. I read it with a sense of like, oh, for goodness sake, you really think we're going to believe you now as you cry crocodile tears over the damage that you've done to the country? It was such a carefully crafted and patronizing statement, treating all of us as imbeciles. And that was yesterday, but over the last 24 hours, there's been considerable analysis of Bell Pottinger and what it's done. Nicola Klein, Professor Nicola Klein, is the head of Gibbs. She's the dean at Gibbs. She's a marketing expert. Nicola Klein on the line to us from Johannesburg. Bell Pottinger's antics have undermined brand South Africa, Nicola.
They have, Bruce. It's coming back, I think, to haunt them, and it's been very bad for us.
I mean, how much damage, can we quantify the damage that has been done?
No, we can't. We can't quantify it, because if we look at the knock-on effects, I mean, if we just look at the time that was spent by the ANC last week in debating white monopoly capital, when perhaps we should have been talking about a number of other things. You know, the ramifications are absolutely massive. But I think your comment about seething and about the insincerity and the impact, I hope, for their current and potential clients, as well as their employees, as well as on all South Africans, we really need to take a stand, I think, and make some further demands from this organization.
What sort of demands can we make? Because, I mean, over the last 24 hours, we've seen these demands for retribution, even reparations for damage done.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard. This is a UK-based company that can moonlight all over the world. It's got a client base second to none. Some of the world's biggest brands still use them. I know I spoke to SA Tourism today. They confirmed to me that they've cut ties. The Ruperts have cut ties. Investec cut ties. They've cut ties with Oak Bay. So they don't have much of a business case in South Africa, perhaps. But certainly, the rest of the world seems pretty nonplussed with their dark side activities.
I'm hoping that the DA's application to the PRCA will also raise the profile of what they've done on an international basis. But I think, you know, Bruce, this has fallen at a time also when South Africans are demanding accountability. It's very important for us. And we've also, many years ago, though, gone through the TRC, which to me was a process that really speaks to the three things you have to do when you get something wrong. And I don't think Bell Pottinger is doing any of them. So fact number one, you owe a detailed explanation of exactly what you've done, how it happened. And certainly the glib assertions that we are a little dismayed by what we've learned so far, that they are sitting with our lawyers, are far from the kind of detail that should be provided. The second thing is, you cannot just issue generic apologies. You can't just turn around and say, we're deeply sorry for anyone impacted. You actually have to identify some of the harm. And as I've said, I don't believe it can be quantified. But certainly this absolutely insincere apology that has been issued by James Henderson is not remotely enough.
When it comes to...
I was going to say, when it comes to restitution, I was teaching a a brand management class today with a colleague of mine, Suzakele Marakule, and we got into this conversation about what should restitution be, and I thought she had a great idea. She said they should pay every single pound of their, I think it was £100,000 a week.
A month.
Mm-hmm. That they have earned over to the Amabungani project.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen...
I think that would be a good start. I think Suzakele's suggestion is brilliant.
Hold on a second. Oh, was that a pig that just flew past the window? it's unlikely to happen, but it's a nice, it's a lovely idea and one that we can turn the screws on. I mean, the fact that they are prepared to make the legal investigation, they've hired one of these big international law firms to investigate them, and they say, look, we still don't think we did much wrong, but what we've seen we don't like very much, and that's why we fired Victoria Hagen and we've suspended a bunch of others until this investigation tells us exactly how awful we are. There's couching and there's denial and all that sort of stuff. The fact that they're prepared to publish, hopefully uncensored, they don't make that commitment, this legal report, does that go some way to your TRC sort of mea culpa?
I would love to know the basis on which they've engaged this law firm. I think an independent inquiry is very different from engaging a law firm to find out what happened and potentially assist you to, as they claim on their website, to help our clients tell effective stories. So, you know, they're not telling their own story particularly effectively here. So, you know, I don't hold up much hope for that happening.
And one has to wonder what damage Bell Pottinger's done to real issues in South Africa. I mean, it's very easy to say, oh, look, Bell Pottinger, aren't they the bad guys? What they did was capitalize on South African realities. They capitalized on an underlying racial tension that does exist in South Africa. They capitalized on the fact that much of the economy is still in the hands of privileged white people. They capitalized very much on the fact that inequality is a massive, divisive issue in South Africa. So they were telling versions of home truths in a very, very destructive fashion. They've also maybe undermined the fight against inequality, undermined the fight against injustice in this country, in a country that is unequal and unfair to many people.
I think that may well be, Bruce, but I think we have a responsibility as citizens to turn that around. You know, if anything, what has played out, I think, shows the incredible danger of black op social media campaigns and what kind of mistruths can be fed. And I would hope that there's a growing realization of how dangerous it is to just naively take opinions and how they can be shaped. So I would hope that we as South Africans and generally can use this as an opportunity to say, we need to be very careful about being naively fed a rhetoric that doesn't even come from within, but that comes from Holborn Gate.
But it was so magnificently manufactured. It was so well orchestrated. It was done with precision. I mean, you're a marketer. You understand what a successful marketing campaign can do. You must look at this with a fair degree of awe and even grudging respect at the success that they achieved, although it was only for a short period of time. They've been caught out and they've become the story rather than the story they were seeking to manufacture. It wasn't sustainable, but for a time they had us all going.
They've done a great job on implementation. And one of the things I've been saying for the last couple of months in terms of sort of engaging with people is we are, what we need to see as a country now is a focus on ethical execution. These guys have done a good job on execution. It's bereft of ethics, and I would also argue that certainly in terms of management accountability, what Bell Pottinger's narrative here around our junior people did this, and really, I mean, they specifically say in the statement that senior management weren't aware of it. So they've got some incredible talent in this firm, junior talent that are able to mobilize magnificently. You just need ethics as well.
What gifted young people they have. My goodness me. Imagine what they could do if senior management did get involved. Who should we be angry with here? Should we be furious at Bell Pottinger for doing the job it was hired to do and being very effective at doing that job for a period of time, or should we be gunning for the paymasters?
I'm not going to say we shouldn't waste time being angry, because I think anger does fuel
things. Anger's good. Anger's healthy.
I think what we have to do is own our own narrative. And so in a way, what we've got to do is also be angry with ourselves. because how much are we crafting the reality? How much are we reaching out to engage, or are we just sitting there as consumers of media?
Nicola Klein, thank you so much. I mean, what a great comment to finish on. The Dean at the Gordon Institute of Business Science. Her field is reputation management, brand management. She is a marketer, and she's turning this into probably the biggest case study in years for Gibbs. Nicola Klein this evening on The Money Show.
The Money Show.
The Markets.
Welcome to The Money Show. Lots of SMSs coming in this evening. Before I talk to David Peacock at Sun and Private Wealth, I just want to reflect on some of those. I see somebody on the Cape Talk SMS line this evening. I hope Bell Pottinger monitors your interview and is ashamed. I don't think they care. Bell Pottinger should account, yes, but what about Oak Bay, the Guptas, and Duduzani Zuma? Was the ANC involved? We don't know this yet. Our country's relations are simply too sensitive to muster this attack. And then others coming through on 702's SMS line this evening, sort of looking at similar views. How can an ad agency, a PR agency — these are not ad or PR agencies, these are masters of the dark art of manipulation of information on industrial scale. That's why, Harry, they're able to, for a brief time — and look, it's not a sustainable strategy. Where they failed dismally is in they just lost the plot so badly. But they did capitalize on South Africa's vulnerabilities. Why are our leaders so silent, asks Harry. Well, you've got to ask that question, Harry. I don't know the answer to it. Are you aware that Bell Pottinger promoted Victoria Gahagan in December 2016? Clearly they approved of her behavior at that point, says Graham. And how can you grant accolades for such an evil act? I think I said marketers would have a grudging respect for the early success of Bell Pottinger's campaign. They certainly did carry it out with precision, and it was evil precision. Lots of bad guys do what they do incredibly efficiently and effectively. Doesn't make them good. David Peacock from Sunlum Private Wealth. The market isn't a happy place, Mr. Peacock, and nor are you, judging by your somber mood.
Bruce, unfortunately, we're at that sort of time of the year where European and American markets go on holiday for a while. We've seen volumes obviously quite thin. You were talking to the JSE just recently. And there's really nothing to, to push this market firmer at the moment. You mentioned the jobs data a little bit earlier on. And clearly you're seeing improvements in the United States in terms of that economy, which, as you mentioned, will mean that you'll probably see rates higher. So therefore, how is asset allocations going to start changing going forward in terms of allocations to equities, to bonds, to cash, as well as obviously emerging markets, as well as developed markets. So, we're sort of in a bit of a gray zone at the moment, and I think, we've just got to be rational and cautious and look for opportunities here.
Be rational and cautious and look for opportunities. If there aren't some contradictions built in there, Mr. Peacock, I'm not sure where they are. Our reality is a currency at 7-week lows. The other reality is commodity prices starting to slide. The sort of hedge effect of gold doesn't seem to hold much sway anymore because of the fact that the U.S. economy is pretty much on a sustainable recovery. And then the Americans are pumping lots of oil, so the oil price is falling too. There are quite a few important signals being sent by commodities.
Yeah. Bruce, in terms of that U.S. economy, that should be positive going forward for global growth as well. In terms of the oil price, that should also be positive on the basis that that will bring costs down. And in terms of inflation, particularly in South Africa, you've seen that there was a fairly significant reduction in the petrol price in this last week, and diesel price. So that's also very good for inflation, because in some respects, there are elements within the food category on the inflation side that will be rising. So, for example, the shortage that we've seen due to the drought, for example, in red meat, you're starting to see that, with farmers still not able to restock fast enough, is starting to push up the price of red meat, and that's going to put a bit of pressure on inflation. So on the commodity front, with, for example, oil down, I think that will help us somewhat. In terms of, for example, gold and platinum, clearly with the U.S. looking stronger, the sort of concern about potential negativity in the market and potential pullbacks of sort of 15% to 20% appears to be abating at the moment. So you see those gold prices, you know, coming down. And then obviously, you know, in terms of commodities with our mining charter that is possibly on its way to quite a lengthy legal process going forward, you know, there's not a lot of interest and a fair amount of concern. And what we've also seen is with our rand being as strong as it has, and in terms of the rand as well as other emerging market currencies, I think what the sort of concern there is that foreign investors have done very nicely in terms of that trade. And I think the concern at the moment is that maybe that trade is coming to sort of an end at this stage. So you're seeing some profit taking coming there. And then obviously with the positive news coming out of the US, you're seeing that the dollar strengthens, and that'll obviously put pressure on our currency as well.
Yeah, we saw that pressure come through on the dollar, although we recovered a little bit of this week's losses against the pound and the euro on the day. The platinum price below $900, I mean, I want to connect it directly to Volvo's announcement this week. I know it's slightly naive because Volvo isn't exactly a massive player all over the world, but it's a sign of things to come when companies like Volvo, mainstream motor manufacturers, start saying, well, we're going to do away with the internal combustion engine at some point, and that means less platinum consumption at some point in the future.
Yeah, but you must also remember, Bruce, that going forward from here in terms of electric cars and batteries, the demand for platinum is actually going to improve.
How?
So because of the fact that you need more platinum in terms of these batteries and the sort of structure of the vehicles and that sort of thing going forward. However, in the shorter term, I agree with you, this transition, because recently Volvo mentioned that they're going to stop making diesel engines. So then it's going to be only petrol. And then from there, it's sort of what, 2019 onwards, it's going to be sort of the electric car. So battery power is going to require more platinum. The only thing, though, going forward is that obviously the ability to recycle that platinum is a lot more efficient in the sort of electric cars. But, you know, I would say platinum is possibly a bit of a dark horse at the moment. In the shorter term, because of where the price is and where the manufacturing cost and production cost and mining costs are, you could well have a situation where a number of producers are possibly going to leave the field because they can't make money out of it, which then potentially means that you're actually going to have a bit of a squeeze in terms of supply. And therefore, when demand starts picking up, you could actually have quite a nice rebound. So it's a bit of a dark horse at the moment. I think it's worth watching carefully. And obviously something like, for example, Impala would spring to mind that sort of, you know, at sort of multi-year lows. But, you know, their balance sheet is looking a lot more tidy. They've tidied up their business quite a lot. And if they can weather the storm and work through this, there could be quite a nice opportunity. And invariably, with commodity stocks, as you know, there's massive gearing in these stocks. So when you start seeing positive results coming through, they re-rate very, very quickly.
David Peacock from Sunlum Private Wealth this evening on The Money Show.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield.
Welcome to The Money Show this evening. Coming up in a couple of minutes' time, we'll do the best bits of The Money Show. Plus, of course, we'll play the Brutal Biz Quiz. I've got a great prize for you this evening, a nice hamper for you this evening if you're the whiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz. On the next Money Show, I'm talking to Brian Cantor. He's author of a book called Get South Africa Growing. He's part of the Investec stable, and we recently had Stephen Kosseff on talking about the importance of growth. Without growth, we can't transform. We'll talk to Brian Cantor about his business book. Also, Andile Mazwai, new chief executive of Rebosa's Property Fund, amongst other things. We're going to find out what he really thinks about money on Make Money Mondays. Next time on The Money Show.
702 and Cape Talk, The Money Show.
Well, let's do the best bits of The Money Show. And the idea here is we want to whet your appetite. If you missed an interview, or you want to re-listen to an interview, if you want to find what we've been talking about on The Money Show for the last week, you can go and download our podcast. You can go to our website. You can subscribe. You can go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. And you can get your podcasts delivered to you. Get them in the event. You can listen to them anytime you like. You can scroll through. You can listen to the bits you want. You can share the bits that you like. For example, Warren Ingram's discussion this week around tax tax was a good one, and how you can pay legally less tax by saving more money, investing more money. You're doing your national duty either way by paying the tax or ensuring that you don't become a burden on the state into the future. But also, we've been following the big news stories of the week, and the Reserve Bank has been coming under a huge amount of pressure. We've seen the public protector get involved, and this week we had the finance minister pushing back against that, effectively in a long and convoluted way, telling her that she hadn't considered all the evidence before her and she should really rethink it, and he'll go to court, the finance minister will, in order to get the matter reviewed, the public protector's report on APSA. But we've also seen the mandate of the Reserve Bank come into question, and then the ANC this week also said, you know what, we need to nationalize the Reserve Bank, and it's a complete red herring. There is no real power in the shareholders of the Reserve Bank. There really isn't. I spoke to Kuben Naidu, the Reserve Bank Deputy Governor, the Registrar of Banks, about the ruling party's renewed calls to nationalize the central bank, and I asked him if he felt as if the Reserve Bank was under siege.
No, we're not feeling under siege. We will protect the mandate and the independence of the Reserve Bank. That's our job. There are two positives in the ANC resolution as well that are not being mentioned. The first is that there is no questioning of the mandate of the central bank. There's no questioning of the legitimacy of inflation targeting the central bank. And there's no questioning of the independence of the central bank. Those are all positive affirmations of the independence of the central bank and the role that we play in both price stability and the regulation of the financial sector.
It was a nice perspective to get from Kuben Naidu, the Deputy Governor of the Reserve Bank. Well, our shapeshifter this week has been involved in South African business for more than 30 years. Sango Nsaluba, the founder, co-founder of South Africa's first black-owned law firm, Sizwe Nsaluba Gobodo. He and Sizwe Nkosana got together to start Sizwe Nsaluba in the early 1990s. Sango Nsaluba joined us on Wednesday as our shapeshifter. He started a couple of businesses. He's South Africa's business royalty. I didn't know whether to bow or to curtsy, but eventually we sat down and had a chat. He's now transferring more of his knowledge to young people. I asked him, what bugs him about young people?
Won't believe this, Bruce. I'm trained as an accountant. And so I wake up in the morning and I put on a suit. But I've had to admit and learn that in this field, they don't wear suits.
No.
No, they don't comb their hair. And they don't wait for you to finish your sentence. And they know everything. They're arrogant. It's their arrogance which I like. And because through that arrogance, that's what survive makes them survive. I just don't think, if you in discussions with people, don't always want to have the last word and know it all. You must leave room for us as potential investors to also put something on the table. So what that turns me on is not how they look or how they speak, is when you are you must love and be passionate about your project, but not to the extent that you say, well, this is how it is. You take it or leave it. Most likely, I'll leave it. Simple like that.
You got lots of choices.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, I've always said to the potential guys that the fact that we don't invest in your business, it doesn't mean it's a bad investment. It's a bad business. It just sometimes doesn't meet our criteria. Mm. Go on with other people and be. But some of these guys are super arrogant. And some of them.
But you say it with a smile on your face. I mean, you can admire the cockiness. I mean, the confidence, perhaps.
Some of them, they remind me of when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, and I like it because in business, you can't be pushover.
What do you say to people who are massively despondent about the state of the nation? We've just gone through an ANC policy conference that was very shouty.
Yeah.
There's a lot of disagreement. There's a lot of attempted hijacking of the economy for personal gain. There's a lot of really bad stuff going on. But in the background, Brian Joffe issues a SENS announcement today to say that he's looking at another deal on top of the hold sport that he said he was looking at last week. He's rubbing his hands with glee at people who are losing confidence. Yeah. And people like Christo Visser say crisis is great.
I also have business people we've invested with who say, well, we're biased to those who want to leave, from those who want to leave. The thing is, we discuss this thing, Bruce. We must avoid being sucked into the noise. We must avoid being carried by this wind, which is going nowhere. We need to concentrate on ourselves. When you wake up in the morning, have your own plan. Execute your plan. When we have time, talk about this other thing which is happening, some of it which is frankly rubbish, you know. But you can't be carried tomorrow, today, you know, there's a discussion about this and you move in that direction because you will be derailed from your plan. So what we discussed when we met with the at NMT Capital with the executives there, we say, what's the business of the day? How are our business partners doing? How can we help them? How are we moving in that type of thing? Then if we've got 5 minutes at the end, we say, well, what was in the papers today? You know, and we move on.
What a lovely, inspiring discussion. And that's one that you need to hear the entirety of. I gave him a tough time, Sango and Soluba, on Wednesday night. My producers were looking at me strangely, saying, oh, you can't ask him that. But we did, and he was lovely. He really was a good value. Well, we heard from Nicola Klein earlier this evening, the Dean at Gordon Institute of Business Science, about how furious she is and how furious we should all be and the sort of actions that South Africans want over the complete noise factory of Bell Pottinger. It's the noise that Sango and Soluba was talking about just a moment ago. Well, we saw that. I can't show inverted commas on the radio. So open inverted commas, apology, close inverted commas from Bell Pottinger yesterday. Complete farce. I caught up with William Bird last night, Managing Director of Media Monitoring Africa, as to whether or not he fell for Bell Pottinger's so-called apology. Okay, so we're not going to do William Bird, but I did ask him that question, and he did respond, and he said, no, he doesn't. He said it was complete outrage. He was very cross. He was very cross. And then we also, today, by the way, is National Fried Chicken Day, but only in America. So you can't go out and, well, you can, I suppose, if you don't like your arteries, you can go and gorge on a bucket of chicken if you want to. I spoke to Jason Clare. He is the chief executive of Siyagopa Trading Group, a guy instrumental in bringing Burger King to South Africa. And then he got hold of a brand called Popeyes. Now, I didn't know Popeyes, but apparently if you're a hip-hop fan, Popeyes appears in lots of hip-hop, and it's very popular amongst the hip-hop crowd, and it's coming to South Africa. They catered Beyoncé's wedding, so very big for Beyoncé. And they're coming to South Africa. They're opening up next week. I asked Jason Clare if he's not concerned about the slowing quick-service restaurant market in our recession-hit economy.
The QSR market is a very big market and potentially is overtraded in certain areas. I think where the big gap lies is drive-throughs. And specifically, if you look at the market penetration in drive-throughs in the chicken sector, that's wide open.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Should KFC, should Doug Smart, the guy who runs KFC in South Africa, should he be having sleepless nights? Are you coming for him?
I think we're definitely going to ruffle some feathers, and we're going to try very hard to take some market share away.
So that is the man who's bringing Popeye's chicken to South Africa. Is KFC quivering in its coop? I don't think so. Not yet, anyway. This is Louisiana-style chicken. Apparently, it's much more spicy. If you get much more spicy than a zinger, it's going to blow the top of your head off. Well, that's some of the best bits of The Money Show this week. And we look forward to next week already. But stand by for the Brutal Biz Quiz, because that's coming up next. First question this evening. I've got a lovely hamper for you. A nice radio station hamper. Lots of bits and pieces. Make you look cool. Which chemical element has the symbol PT and the atomic number, because this is going to be the deciding factor for you, of 78. Oh, you're thinking to yourself, PT put me off. I was thinking, oh, I don't know, physical training. But when she said 78, I knew immediately which chemical element it was. What is the chemical element PT? Atomic number 78.
The Money Show.
The Biz Quiz.
Time for the Brutal Biz Quiz on a Friday night, starting with a science question. Which chemical element has got the symbol PT and atomic number 78? Mordise, do you know PT or do you know atomic number 78?
It's a platinum.
So, but what gave it away? PT or atomic number 78?
No, it's platinum.
You just know. You just know. You just know. I spoke to the MD of Vestac, Paul Theron, about the future of platinum this week. He's a little bit concerned and isn't exactly diving into cheap platinum shares just yet. What is the name of the PR firm founded by Timothy Bell, known for its advisory role in Margaret Thatcher's three successful election campaigns and dirty tricks all over the world?
Bell Pottinger.
Bell Pottinger. Bell Pottinger, that's correct, yes. The company yesterday apologized for its unethical conduct, but nobody's accepting the apology, not anybody sensible anyway. And Timothy Bell, he left the company last year to start a new influential business. What is the name of the U.S. fast food brand? It's founded 45 years ago in New Orleans, Louisiana, and it's opening in Sandton City next week.
Popeye.
Popeyes is absolutely right. Whose wedding did they cater?
Beyonce's wedding.
Jeez, you've been listening this evening as well. You've been listening this evening as well. Okay, I spoke to Jay Sinclair this week, and he's terribly excited about bringing a new brand. What is the profession of Sangon Saluba?
It's an accountant.
No, Obi, you mean? I'm giving it to you. Obi said no, but I'm giving it to you because I'm the good guy in this relationship. He's an auditor, an accountant. That's the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Yes. I think they're the same thing. So you're absolutely right. We're going to let you live there. Let's see whether or not you can make it a clean sweep this evening. Let's see if you can make it a clean sweep. Now, what organization? It's a very important organization. It's of national importance. And if you buy shares in it, it'll pay you just 10 cents a share in a dividend.
It's the South African Reserve Bank.
Mudisa, you're getting so excited. Oh, Mudisa's getting excited. Now, Mudisa, yes, provided you don't mess this up, I'm going to make you the whiz of the biz quiz. Yes. A university granted 4 honorary doctorates this week, 2 that we were particularly keen on, 1 for Jabu Mabuza, chairman of Telkom and the saviour of South African business, and one of his very big helpers, Stephen Kosef from Investec. They got honorary doctorates from... of which university did they get honorary doctorates from?
I'm thinking it's University of Pretoria Business School.
Wits University. Which university? Oh, Mudisa gave it to you. I can't believe it. I wanted Mudisa to be the wizard of the biz quiz, but he was being selfish and he was hogging it. He was keeping it all to himself. Mudisa, it wasn't the University of Pretoria Business School. Oh, no. Sorry, Mudisa. Is that Al in Cape Town? Oh, Al's not there. He gave up. He thought Mudisa was on a roll. Eugene. Oh, Eugene. Put on off the radio. There we go. Eugene.
Yes, I'm here. Can you repeat the question? Sorry.
No. I'm joking. Stephen Kosef and Jabu Mabuza got honorary doctorates from where? 3. Oh, Eugene. You stole it at the last minute. Eugene is the wizard of the biz quiz by default and because he got the right answer. Well done to Eugene. Mudisa, I'm so sorry. You did so brilliantly. Eugene will be wiring a radio station hamper to you because you are the wizard of the brutal biz quiz this Friday night.